Anyway, you know, I'm very glad to be back here. Very excited because, you know, this is such an important time for all of us. I know last week I went a little bit long, okay? So I want to apologize because I noticed some of you probably felt it was so long that this week you all brought headrest so that you can sleep while the sermon is going on. Please do not sleep, okay? Turn to your neighbor and say he's talking about you. Okay, let's make good time, alright? So that it won't be as long as last week. So last week we were at this place that means rolled away. Can anyone tell me what the name of the place is? Gilgal, excellent. Gilgal was a place of second chances. It didn't matter that some point in your life you failed, you messed up, okay? You tripped up, you fell down. But Gilgal was this called a place where God would come to you again and say, would you like to have another go? A place of second chances. It was also a place of new beginnings. You never had tried something before. I mean, you never really took that step before. Gilgal was that sort of place. It was a place of second chances, a place of new beginning, but it was also a place of counting of the cost, right? That was where he sat down. The Bible says in Luke chapter 14, no one aspiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether or not he could finish building the tower, or no one going to war would not first sit down and ask if he could, with 10,000 soldiers, defeat the one who's coming against him with 20,000. So it was the sort of place where, you know, you make decisions, right? You make a decision, you sit down, you count the cost, you know, you make a covenant, if you like. So, if you like, I would like to think of Gilgal as a place of preparation. Everyone say preparation, right? Preparation is not the same as the actual exam. Right? Preparation is when you sit down, you're mugging, you're doing past year questions, you know, you're going to shops and you're buying all the past year questions from all the different schools. You're doing preparation, but the preparation is not the real thing. It's just a preparation, alright? Gilgal was a place of preparation, but it was vital. Because you need to make up your mind. The Bible says in James that, you know, the person who is double-minded, this is James chapter 1 verse 17, right? The person who's double-minded, it doesn't mean that you're split personality, right? It means that you just can't make up your mind. You know, sometimes me and my wife, we can't make up our mind. Almost every day after work, I'll go and pick her up from school. Without fail, once she gets in the car, we'll look at each other and we'll say, no, it's not I love you. We'll say, where are we going to eat, right? And she'll look back at me and say, anywhere. What do you eat? Anything. So where are we going to go? Don't know. Anywhere. Okay? So, we'll look at each other and finally we'll conclude, Singapore, there's nothing to eat. Okay? Because we can't make up our mind. Okay? When you can't make up your mind, you're double-minded. Maybe you're triple-minded also, right? The Bible says, the double-minded person cannot expect to receive anything from God. Let me ask you, do you want to receive something from God? Yeah. So don't be double-minded. Turn to your neighbor and say, make up your mind. Okay, I mean, don't be wimpy. You know, some people, they are wimpy, just can't make up, you know. I mean, seriously, you know, some people, especially you guys, okay, you guys don't be wimps, okay, be men. We go and shop for something, I don't say, 2 hours, I don't know, a pink color nice or not, maybe blue color, a green color. Look, you can't make up, buy all of it, or don't buy any, right? Or just buy one, you've got no money, right? Okay, so, Gilgal was a place where they had to make up their minds. It was a place where they were getting ready. I call Gilgal the place where you suit. Got it? Suit up. You wear your suit. You get ready. And actually, I got a very nice slide, but I don't know why the slide is not working. Is someone actually operating the slide at all? Oh, there's no one there. Okay. That means they're not ready. So, they're still come somewhere at Gilgal. Alright, it's coming up anyway. Okay, anyways. It is a place where we suit up. You put up your armor. You get ready. And ready. And still getting ready. Alright. Now, after Gilgal comes the real thing. Right? Gilgal, up to Gilgal, it was just sort of like the preparation, okay, the preparatory stuff. But after Gilgal, they had to go up to Jericho. Oh yeah, finally the slides are up. Yeah, okay, great. Okay, well, that's not the slide yet, although we are kind of at next slide already. Can we like just roll to the next one? Yeah, suit up. That's what I wanted. Iron Man. Okay, now you know Tony Stark, right? Without the armor, he's just a loud mouth, okay? I mean, I like the guy. Actually, I do like the guy, alright? But you need to suit up, okay? So everyone got suit up. So cool if I could bring one of that. Who ran one of those things and show up in a suit, right? Okay. Then, you go up to Jericho. So after Gilgal, you go up to Jericho. Everyone say Jericho. So why Jericho? I mean, they got 40,000 fighting men crossing over the land. They had options, right? They didn't have to, they had to go up to Jericho. There are many little towns which are not well defended, which they could just literally overrun. It was a sure success. Much, much, much easier, right? But in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, you will go up, you'll possess the land, and then it says, especially Jericho. So why Jericho? Jericho was a fortified city. It had big walls. It had soldiers. It had a king. Those guys are organized. And worst of all, they know you are coming, right? So why Jericho? I mean, why Jericho? Now, I don't believe this was a coincidence. It's not just happenstance that God said you must go up to Jericho. In fact, I believe this was God's plan for them. God wanted these Israelites to first go up to Jericho before they go up to anywhere else. Why? Because God wanted to teach them some very important lessons concerning how to be a someone who possesses, who receive God's promise, alright? Someone who, what's the word I was looking for? Someone who secures the promise of God, alright? So, if you want to secure the promise of God, you need to learn the lessons they learned at Jericho. Otherwise, you could go through your entire Christian life being just mediocre, right? Never quite getting anywhere. Almost there, but never quite there, right? So, Jericho holds some really important lessons. And today, what we want to do is we want to look at Jericho. By the way, in the book of Joshua, there's several key places, important places, if you want to read it, right? From Joshua chapter 1 to 11, you start from a place called Acacia Grove, then you go to Gilgal, I mean, these places we have been past, and then you go to Jericho. After Jericho, there was another city, Ai. These were all the major stories. So today, we are looking at Jericho to understand what are the secrets, if you like, the keys to how you can become a mature Christian and not just a kiddie Christian all along. Alright? Okay, here we go. First of all, faith. What is faith? Faith is not just a theory. Many people seem to think that faith is just an intellectual state of mind. Okay? It's not. It is not even giving assent to a body of ideas, to a set of theological beliefs. That's not what faith is about. Believing, you might say, I believe something, I don't have to do anything, alright? Faith is not that. Faith is actually doing something, okay? Faith is like a verb. It actually, you do something. It must involve an action. So, for them to go up to Jericho is doing something. Prior to Jericho, they were sitting in Gilgal, they look at Jericho from afar, they can discuss it, you can contemplate about it, you can pray about it, you can write books about it, but you know, there's nothing like going to Jericho. So going to Jericho was an act of faith. Everyone say faith. Faith is the most important thing you ever learn in your Christian life. Alright? You will learn many, many things, but let me tell you, nothing comes close to being as important as faith is. And faith is not a state of mind. It's not whether you agree or disagree to something, it's what you do with your life. That's faith. So, it's not just doing something. You know, some of you, yeah, play Xbox, I'm doing something, that's faith. No, that's not faith, alright? It's doing what God wants you to do. So, when they go up to Jericho, in chapter 6, right, that's when they begin to go up to Jericho. The first thing that God tells Joshua is this. Joshua chapter 6 verse 2. The Lord said to Joshua, look, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, right? But get this. The first thing the Bible says is, the Lord said to Joshua. The Lord said. Faith begins with what God says. It does not begin with what you want. Many Christians, they say, you know, I want this, you know, I want a promotion. I want a girlfriend or boyfriend. Yes, I believe, I believe, I believe. Listen, no use one. Go to the class, okay? They'll tell you no use one. It doesn't work like that. You can hope. That's your hope. That might be your aspiration. That might be your imagination. But faith doesn't begin with what you want. Not even what you want badly. Faith always begins with what God says. You remember last week when the angel of the Lord appeared, right? And Joshua fell to his knees. He asked the angel, what does the commander of the Lord's army say? What do you say? Today, if you want to grow in biblical faith, first thing you got to do, you got to figure out what is God saying to you. Okay? Young men, young women, you must say, I'm too young. Listen, in God, age is not important, right? Daniel was probably just 8 years old when God really called him in the Bible. Not this Daniel, the other Daniel, right? So you're probably already too old, you know? Don't think I'm the only one old here. Some of you, you are already starting to look your age. I can see the wrinkles, okay, on your forehead right now. But, you know, when you want to come to God, the first thing you got to do is ask, what is God saying to you? If you don't know what God is saying to you, then you don't have faith. It's not possible to have faith in nothing one, is it? Right? When I was growing up, one of the most famous verses came from Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18, which says that where there is no vision, where there's no revelation of God's will, God's divine plan, the people go astray. Or in some versions, it says the people perish. Where there is no vision, you perish. Not just your own vision, right? Not laser vision, God's vision. Today in your own life, every single last one of you, you need the vision of God in your life. Some of you, what vision? That's the problem. What vision? But you need the vision of God in your life. Some of us, the only vision you have is television, right? But seriously, some of you, I watch TV all the time. Listen, if you are serious about being a Christian, right? Are you? Are you serious? Are you just kids? No, right? You're going to grow up to be men and women of God. You know, first of all, you got to have the vision of God. So, it begins with what the Lord says. Don't start with what you say. Don't start with what your friends say or what you think or what you like. Start with what the Lord says. Faith, biblical faith, begins with the Lord said, not I want. Okay? Okay, so don't be so foolish to assume that everything we want is the will of God. Very often it is not the case. Right? Very often it is not. Rather, seek God's will. Get down on your knees and seriously ask God, God, tell me. Whatever it is you want me to do, tell me. Alright? So what is God's will for you today? What does the commander of the Lord's army, of which you are a member, Yehovah Sabaoth, what does he speak to you today? Can you hear his voice? Maybe he's already said something to you, some of you. It might be a very small thing. You know, it really could be a very small thing. In my life, sometimes God tells me to do things that I consider so small. You know, sometimes God will say, you know, I want you to give $10 to this person. I say, are you sure? Yep. Well, if that's what you want to do, me to do, that's what I do. You go and you do it. Sometimes, I want you to go and give a call to this person. Okay, I don't understand, but I just call, you know, I call and, oh, pastor, you called me, I was just about to kill myself. And, okay, some, not, you know, that's a bit over dramatic. But sometimes, you know, it's not the big thing God will ask you to do. What's important is whether you obey or not. You understand? And that could be any one of you. In fact, it's probably every one of you. Every single one of you. God is telling us something. God has a word for you today. Do you believe it? Do you guys at the back believe it? Okay, the one who was falling asleep. Okay, no. Right? So, what does God tell Joshua? Okay, what is God's word to Joshua? Well, in the Bible, in Joshua chapter 6, verse 35... verse 3 to 5, it actually says this, right? You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets and ram's horn, that's shofar, before the ark. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city 7 times, and priests shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, the loud blast at the very end. And when you hear the... when you hear the sound of trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat and goes on a little bit. So I want you to imagine. Imagine you're Joshua now, right? You are the visible human general of the army. But the captain of the army of the Lord is giving you instructions. You are supposed to now go back and tell the man. So I imagine the conversation going something like this. Okay, Joshua, here's what I want you to do. Okay, I mean, you can translate to King James English. Joshua, thou speakest to thy men. Okay, you can do all that, but I just got modernize it, alright? Okay, Joshua, here's what I want you to do, okay? You will tell your men this. Get up and march around the city with the Ark of the Covenant and blow the trumpet once. Okay, do this. And Joshua is like, okay, what? You mean like march around the city? Yep, march around the city. Then what? You know, march away. Okay, march around the city. Then blow the trumpet. Okay, got it. Take notes now. Okay, blow the trumpet. And then after that, what? Then nothing. Then come back to the camp. And Joshua's like, huh? Like that only? Come back to the camp, then do what? Come back to camp, rest. Right? Okay, well, Lord's army, come back to camp, rest. And then the next day, yes, next day, what are we going to do? Yeah, do the same thing again. Go out there, one more time. March around, blow the trumpet. And then come back. Yeah, come back. Right? And Joshua's scratching his head a little bit, right? What's going on here? I thought we're going to go fight, right? Going to conquer a city, right? You don't conquer a city by marching around, one, right? I mean, you can go there, you know, the great Israeli workout, you know, go exercise, walk, right? What are they doing? This is marching around the city only. And then Joshua said, and this goes on for, yep, do it for 6 days. Okay. And that's all? Yep. Oh yeah. 7 days. Do the same thing 7 times. And Joshua is like thinking, my men are going to think I'm crazy. Right? I mean, he's a general. Everyone's looking to him to come up with some sort of, you know, strategy of war. Right? We shall bring the battering ram. We shall batter the front. You know, we shall dig over this side. We shall pour water down here. And, you know, maybe coming up there. But no. Joshua is thinking, I'm going to tell them that we're going to go, you know, do this dance around the place a little bit like rain dance like that, right? Then probably at this point he's thinking, oh, 6 days, 7 days. Hey, but Lord, 7 days, Sabbath day, are we supposed to march? You know, sometimes you come up with excuses when you don't do things. And very good excuses. You know, I found Christians, normally they don't know the Bible. But when they don't want to do something, suddenly they can remember all kind of Bible verse. Pastor, doesn't the Bible say this? What about this? Suddenly it can be very theological. You know what? When you don't want to do something, your mind is super creative. But when God asks you to do something, sometimes you fall asleep. Right? Okay, so I think Joshua struggled, right? I'm sure he struggled. Now, there are a couple of questions I want to ask you. Look at this verse that we just read just now. Right? Joshua chapter 6. There's something in this verse, right? When were they supposed to go and march around the city? You look at the text there. When are you supposed to go out and march against Jericho? Any idea? Does it say in the text there when they were supposed to go and march against the city? It doesn't say, does it? Okay, if you don't know, I'm telling you, don't look anymore. It's not there. Okay? So if it doesn't say, then the question is, when are you supposed therefore to go? When are you supposed to go? I don't know, right? Let me tell you. When God never tell you when, it means now. Right? God tell you, you know, son, I want you to serve. When? It means now. Now. Serve now. Not wait until Jesus come back. Okay? That time you don't need to serve already. Not when after you graduate. Not after you get married. Not after you have children. Not after you are old man and retire already, right? When God tells you to do something, what he means is, do it now. You know, I got a daughter, right? And when she was a teenager, I mean, she's just a bit weird, like, she don't go out with her friends, you know. I mean, probably antisocial like me, you know. So I thought, Bethany, why aren't you going out with your friends, you know? And she said, Dad, what's wrong with you? All the other parents are asking them, why are you going out with your friends? How come you're asking me to go out with my friends, okay? So anyway, you know, I had a teenage daughter, and sometimes I would walk past her room, right? And then it's dinner time, I'll say, Bethany, you know, go and shower, and we're going for dinner, right? Say, okay, Dad, you know, I just like, I'm going and doing my stuff, you know. 20 minutes later, we're about to go out already, I come by her room. Bethany, why are you still on the bed playing your computer? Go and shower, and we're going out for dinner. Yes, going, Dad, you know, going, Dad, you know. So I go and change up everything. 10 minutes later, I come by the room. Guess what? Bethany, why are you still... She's going very slowly, like snail like that. Maybe move 2 inches on the bed. Right? You know this, right? Because you do the same thing. Correct? Going soon, soon, soon. Jesus come back already, you're probably still there. Right? And a lot of us don't understand. When God tells you to do something, he doesn't mean do it tomorrow. Unless he says tomorrow. Right? He usually means do it right now. You understand? And if you don't do it right now, you will be disobeying God. You understand? So this text is really interesting because you know what? It doesn't say when. And you know, Joshua understood. Immediately, that very day, they went and marched against Jericho. He said, let me sort of like consolidate a little bit. Don't need to consolidate, right? Don't need to pray about it. When God has told you something, that's it already. You don't have to wait and procrastinate anymore. In your life today, has God asked you to do something? Okay, you don't have to raise up your hands, but has God asked you to do something? Let me ask you this. Have you done it already? Or are you telling God, going soon? Going soon, right? I mean, let's say one day, right? You're driving down the road, okay, steep hill, and suddenly, you realize your brake is not working. You're going very fast, 100 kilometers an hour, right? Very fast. And you see a cliff coming. Lord, please help me. And God asks you, when? When do you want me to help you? Now! Coming
coming soon.
How would you like that?
You don't want, you want God to do it immediately, right? But how is it then when God asks you to do something, you coming soon?
Akan datang. Okay, akan datang, right?
Okay, so anyway, I think that alone is a sermon already. If you don't remember anything else, please remember, God asks you to do something, do right now. Okay? Okay, let's kind of continue. So, there were struggles. I mean, it wasn't easy for Joshua. He's not like done this kind of thing. It's not like, oh yeah, we're going to do one of those march around the wall and wall collapse thing. Never done it before. Okay, no idea how it's going to work out. So, when God speaks in our life, the next thing, the very next thing that happens, like, you know you're supposed to do it now, is what happens is, your flesh will come up. Your flesh will come up with excuses. It will not want to let go of the steering wheel. It will think it's too ridiculous, right? The flesh does not trust. The flesh is fearful. And this is why Jericho had to be the first lesson. It was a lesson of letting go of the flesh. If not, they will never succeed in the Lord. Today, you want to grow as a Christian? You want to, the reason you never grow as a Christian is not because there are not enough material around. Not because your Bible is, you know, too old. It usually means that we have not overcome our flesh. Your flesh is what's keeping you from growing into God's destiny for you. Alright? So the way you do this is you got to kill the flesh and you got to actually get there. Actually do it. Believing in your head is pointless. James chapter 2 verse 19 says, even demons also believe in God and they tremble, right? Faith without works is dead, is useless. Unless you do something, unless you obey, unless you say, now I'm going to do it. Thinking about it, no use one. Okay, you're only kidding yourself. Faith doesn't, that kind of faith, thinking faith doesn't work. Doing faith works. You know, Peter, in Matthew chapter 14, Peter was confronted by the wind and the waves. Jesus was calling Peter, come. Come over here. Right? In the water. Peter was in the boat. He had to choose between the familiarity of the security of his boat. At this point, no faith yet. Choosing, still at Gilgal. He had to choose between that and the call of Jesus. Right? Jesus calling him. He had to choose. Security, water, security, water. Who are you going to look at? Ultimately, he had to do something right. He had to take the first step. There's always a first step. That first step was that one. He goes up to the edge of the boat. He takes up, pull up his skirt or whatever the thing he's wearing, you know. And he does this. That first step is probably the hardest. Right? At that point, all the other disciples are probably holding their breath. What's going to happen? You know, cliffhanger, right? So, they're thinking about, or maybe some of them are sniggering. Oh, he's going to get wet. I can't wait. Take a selfie picture. I'll take a picture. Peter getting drenched. You know what I mean? But you know what? That first step is the very next thing that you need to do. Okay? So first, you got to suit up. Suit up. Get ready. Prepare yourself. Make a commitment. Make those decisions. But after having done all those passive things, you got to do the active part of faith. Right? Which I call show up. Right? So, you got to suit up. Now, you just have to show up. If you don't show up, it's a walkover. There's nothing left to fight. Nothing to talk about. No need to write books about it or hear sermons about it. What you absolutely need to do is you need to show up. If God tells you to do something, then you just have to show up. You may not understand everything. Show up. You may not even like it. Show up anyway. When you show up, there is a chance that it could happen. But if you don't show up, it's all over. So the first thing you got to do, learn in this regard, is you need to show up. Many Christians, they ask, why God never do anything? When God was doing things, you're not there, ma. Right? You were somewhere else doing some other thing, your own stuff. If you are serious about God, make sure you show up where God wants you. Show up at Jericho. Show up at the battle. Right? You can talk about it, you can deliberate about it, you can debate about it all you want. But when push comes to shove, you just have to show up. Faith, by its very nature, is like this. It's doing it. It's actually being active. Not just thinking. Not just some intellectual exercise. You know Abraham? Abraham, the Bible says, he believed God, right? But what was counted to him as righteousness? What was counted ultimately was when he put Isaac on the altar, right? The action of doing this and putting out his knife up, that action is the embodiment of faith. Before that, all theory only.
doesn't count. Anyone can have it. Even demons can have it. So if you want to have faith, you could actually do it. Faith without works is dead. In fact, the Bible actually says, but oh, you, oh foolish man, don't you know that faith without works is dead? I didn't read that part because you're not foolish. Or are you men, right? You're kids. No, no, you're not kids. You're men and women in God, but you're not foolish, right? But faith without works is dead. Everyone say, faith without works is dead. So friends, do you have this kind of faith? Faith that's not talking only. Faith that's doing. Obeying God. So we come to the next thing, right? If you have this faith, you tell God, Lord, I'm going to show up at Jericho. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'm just going to show up. When I was in university, there was a revival. Lots of things were happening in my life. Towards the end of the first year I was staying in Raffles Hall. Okay, Raffles Hall is one of these very nice place, hostel, right? In the heart of NUS campus. And there was a camp, a Varsity Christian Fellowship camp at the end of the year. Now, at that particular point of time, usually holidays, we have to pack everything away and go home, right? You can't normally stay over the holidays unless you pay extra. And I was very poor, so I had enough money to buy my train ticket home. That's all I have, right? To buy a train ticket from Singapore all the way to KL. But about a week before the incident, going back when I was supposed to go back, we were being invited to go for this camp, this Varsity Christian Fellowship camp. So I was thinking, man, I got no money to go, right? Because the camp also, you need money. It just turns out that the amount of money for the camp is the same as my train fare going home to KL, right? So I was like, whoosh. Go home, go camp. But go camp only 3 days. After 3 days, what am I going to do? Right? Then I'll be homeless. So, it was really hard. But I was praying, you know. I was praying, God, what do you want me to do? And then, I thought God said, go for the camp. Okay, I thought God said, because it wasn't as if there was like suddenly Dolby THX, go for the camp. Oh yeah, I got it. No, it wasn't like that. It was like a thought. It's like almost a passing thought. Go for the camp. I was like, is that you, God? I mean, you could really help me out here, right? Can you give me a confirmed chop or not? You know, this is a problem. Every time we want from God, we want confirmation. We want the guarantee of success. We want a zero chance of failure. Right? Tell me, God, for sure, you know. Burn a hole in the floor. Something like this. Wow, you see the hole in the floor. Right? But it was just a passing thought. I was thinking, man, I wanted to exercise faith. Right? Thinking about it is not going to do anything. This is not the kind of thing that you think about. It's either you do or you don't do. And you do it now. So, I took out my train ticket money from the little envelope. I went and signed up for this camp. I can even remember, while signing up for this camp, in my mind is doing all the calculation. How long will it take to walk back from Singapore to KL? You know, I was thinking, or maybe, what am I going to do? So but on the other side, I was thinking, you just show up. I don't know how this is going to work. I should just show up. You know, I just went for the camp. At the last day of the camp, everyone was so happy. You know, after camp, everyone's happy, right? I mean, you eat all the chicken wings and everything. So excited, you know, up from the mountain, glory of God. People's face is shining like that, you know. And then they hop on the bus and everyone said, okay, bus will drop you back home. Just tell the bus driver where you want to be dropped home. I was like, KL? And by any chance, you know, right? So I didn't know where. So I thought, just drop me back at the university. Because I really don't know where to go, right? I got no home. I literally had no home. So the bus, finally everyone dropped, I'm happy. I just keep quiet because I was like, I don't know. I was kind of happy because, you know, camp was over, you know, right? But I was actually quite worried. And of course, I couldn't tell my parents. My parents are not Christians. Dad, can you send more money? For what? For train ticket? I already sent you last week. I already kind of used that. You used that to do what? Go for a church camp, you know, that would get me into all kinds of trouble, right? And I was about to go home to see my parents. I didn't want to tell them that. So, I went back to the hostel, and I started walking around the hostel, because I really don't know what to do. I was just like thinking. So while I was walking around one of the quadrangle, the ground floor door opened. Then there was this senior, she was a lady, right? And I remember she was not one of those super committed Christians, you know, hardly come to church, and almost never go to our, you know, cell group and things like that. Then she goes, oh, Daniel, hey,
God told me to give you this one. And I opened up. You know what? I couldn't believe it. I nearly cried. It's enough money for my train ticket. It's like, oh my goodness. You know, sometimes in your life, you don't understand everything. In fact, I will say, most of the time, you probably won't understand anything at all. What is needed of you is to show up. You understand? And you don't show up, all that is, you just miss all that. You got to show up. Everyone say show up. So first you got to suit up, then you got to show up. You just got to show up. It doesn't matter whether you're scared or not, whether you're smart or not, whether you understand or not. It doesn't matter. What is required of you is to show up at Jericho. That's the absolute first thing. Otherwise you stay at Gilgal, nothing will happen. Alright? Okay, so you got to show up at Jericho. Now, this doesn't mean that there were no doubts. There were plenty of doubts. Every night there were doubts, right? So, when you want to obey God, this is what's going to happen. Your flesh is going to kick into overdrive. Questions will arise in your mind that will direct your attention to the walls. Look at those walls. Look at how big, thick, and high those walls are. Look at on top of the walls. Do you see those soldiers up on the walls? Yeah, the one with the oil, burning oil ready to pour on you, right? Look at them. Direct your attention there. Your heart will want to direct your sight, right, upon your own inadequacy. I'm too young, right? I have too little. I'm too inexperienced. I'm too weak. Yes, questions that will raise up the specter of risk. What if this doesn't work out? Then how, right? What if you embarrass yourself? Everyone will laugh at you. Then how? What if your parents scold you? Then how? All these questions that will cast doubt on whether it was really God's will. Is it really God's will? Did God really say that? Or was it maybe you drank a little bit too much Coke, you know, maybe a little bit too much sugar in your system? Was it really God? Questions that come up again and again. You could choose. As your flesh will want you to pull back and to focus on those things. Or, on the other hand, you could choose to consider the fact that just a few days ago, you crossed on dry ground across the Jordan. You could consider that. Or you could consider that 40 years ago, you crossed on dry ground over across the Dead Sea. And Pharaoh's army is lying at the bottom of the Dead Sea. You could choose that. You see, when you come to these kind of places, it's always a choice on the one hand, faith, or you want to trust your flesh. Right? This is what Jericho is about, you see. Jericho is not just some fight between Israelites and Canaanites. It's about you fighting between your faith and your flesh. Who are you going to listen to? Your flesh has its own desires, its own ambitions, its own agenda. God, on the other hand, is asking you to do something. Who are you going to choose? This was the lesson number one, numero uno, if you're Spanish, right? It's the first lesson. Joshua knew this. Joshua knew that all his men in their heart, because they're normal human beings, right, would have these doubts. So, he added to the instruction of God. You remember? Just now we just read the instruction of God, right? Well, guess what? Joshua decided to amend it a little bit and expand it a little bit. He added verse 10. In verse 10, Joshua says, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice." Okay? "Nor shall a single word proceed from your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." Okay, you remember we read what God told Joshua, right? Didn't have this one. This one Joshua added himself, you know. You know why he did that? He's smart. He deal with people. He know what people are like. The human heart, if you open mouth, what do you think will come out? "So hot here lah. How long will we stand here lah? How many times must we go around already? We go around so many times. You know, the guy throw tomato, kanami, you know, I know." And you complain, right? "It's so boring, leh. I'm tired already, eh. What, are they leg painful? You know, my car also kaneng leo, you know." If you open your mouth, what do you think will come out? Yeah. You give voice to your doubts, right? "Hey, is this really God's plan or not? Siao na, this kind of minister, you know, we don't want this, we don't want that, right?" I'm not minister. Did I say minister? I would mean minister. I mean, you know, this kind of commander. You know, the human nature is such that we just want to give voice to our fear. You want to give voice to your doubts. You want to give voice to your unbelief. You want to give voice to our stubbornness. Right? That is the human nature. And Joshua understood this. So Joshua says, you know, basically, guys, shut up. You got to bring
your human nature under control. Paul says, I beat myself, right? I strike my own face so that, in order that I can train myself, I can decide, I can bring my passions under control. Guys, don't walk by feeling. Walk by faith. And in order to do that, you actually have to rein in your fears. You have to rein in. You have to not give voice to your doubts. Are there doubts? Yes. But don't give voice to your doubts. Give voice to your faith. Give voice to your faith. You understand what I'm trying to say? Many times we open our mouth, first thing come out is doubt. But you know what? The one that you feed will get stronger. Right? You feed, you keep giving voice to your fear, what do you think will get stronger? Of course your fear lah. The muscle that you exercise is the one that gets strong, right? If every day you use your last finger and carry weight, where do you think your muscle will be? Oh, your finger like that lah. Right? The muscle that you exercise is the one that gets stronger, right? Now, same thing for all of us. Faith needs to be exercised. And you exercise your faith not because you have no doubts, but because you choose to silence your doubts. You silence the voice of dissent within yourself. This is the third thing. So first you got to suit up, then you got to show up. So the third one is you got to shut up. And basically, right? So pastor, how can you say shut up? You know, that's so rude. Listen, in Exodus chapter 14 verse 14, when Moses was sent by God, right, to go and confront Pharaoh. So God told Moses, listen, I'm going to do this amazing thing. I'm going to read that to you. Okay, Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. The Lord will fight for you, Moses. As for you, Moses, and then this is King James, you shall hold your peace. Now that's a really nice word. Hold your peace, you know. First of all, I have no idea how to hold peace. Which peace or what, you know. But this hold your peace actually comes from one single Hebrew word. That single Hebrew word has nothing to do with peace or holding anything. It simply means shut up. Okay? Why did God tell Moses to shut up? Because every time before that, Moses opened his mouth, he nearly got himself killed by God. God, I don't know how to talk. Obviously, you're talking very well, right? Oh, but I'm not very good at talking. But you talk to me, you deal, no problems, right? I talk to Pharaoh, then you say cannot, right? But Moses says, you know, I'm old already, you know. Okay, I send you Aaron. Oh, Aaron, yeah. But okay. Every time he opens his mouth, he nearly get himself killed, right? So God, okay, Moses, I'm going to do you a favor. Listen to me. God will fight for you. As for you, shut up. Okay? So the third point is this, shut up. It's a very simple point. Alright? By which I mean, you have to bring your own doubts under control. Do not allow your doubts to run amok in your life. It does you no good at all. You follow, guys? Now, why are there doubts in your life? Look, until you decide to take the first step and show up, right? Until they showed up at Jericho, the fight was not on. You understand? There's no fight, you know? But the very moment they stepped that first step, you know what? The battle was on. The moment they showed up at Jericho, the battle was on. And do you think the enemy is going to come and willy-nilly, oh, come and take our house here, can take our possession here, have our children and slaves as well, you know? Do you think they're going to do that? No! The moment you declare war on the enemy, the adversary, is going to come against you with a fury of hell. Right? They're going to come against you to discourage you, to destroy your faith, to destroy your hopes, to turn you back, maybe even to kill you. But until you actually take the first step, there's no fight. You know, I don't know how many of you have watched sumo wrestling before. You know, sumo, those overweight people, skimpily dressed, and just go to fight like this, right? Right? And you know, this is a very funny thing. Before they start fighting, right? Before the actual match start fighting, before all these, messy things, like, okay. What they do is they go and do like this, like that, like that, like that. Okay, like testing the ground like that. This ground strong enough, you know, I'm 800 pounds, okay. So, they're down there. And then, both sides, they sit down, then they stare at each other. Okay, they got like all this, probably flour on their, boom, 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 wet the backside, wet everything. Then, right? And then they stare at each other, like want to spit at each other, like that. Okay, I can't make my sumo face. Right? Okay, what's going on? They're not going to fight because after that... Okay, go back. Go back to the corner. Right? What do you think they're doing? Psychological warfare. Right? If you want to quit, now is the time to quit. Before we all get blue-black, right? Now is a good time for you to quit. Both are there hoping the other one will give up. Because if you won't give up, that's all over, right? But if you show up after that, then it's on. The fight is on. So when you show up, the fight is on,
And you have to bring everything under control. You got to shut up. Okay? The fears, the things, you got to bring all those things under control. And I'll tell you, if you think that was bad, it's about to get worse. Because the enemy is now going to throw everything he's got at you. Doesn't matter if you're just a student. Right? In fact, many times, just because you're a student, you'll be worse. After taking that first step, every fiber of your being will want to pull back. Because now you step into the fray, into the battle, you see arrow flying, spears flying, swords flying. Your fight and flight response will tell you common sense dictates that I get out of here, right? This is how most people are. Christians are like this. That's why they never get anywhere. They say, yeah, onward Christians. So, well, I'm out of here, you know, right? Right? Most Christians are like this. I'll tell you this truth. As a pastor, I see most Christians are, they don't have grit, right? They don't have what it takes. Okay, so, your whole person wants to get out of there. The voice of human experience, the pulse of fear, the tide of social opinion will turn against you and start to mock you for even daring to consider that step. I had a youth stay in my house for, you know, nearly a month, some time ago, right? Because she wanted to obey God. But the parents kicked her out of the house, right? So, you know, sometimes it does get worse, right? It does get worse before it gets better. When your friends turn away from you, your family abandon you, when your heart is trembling with uncertainty and you feel like giving up, when discouragement, disillusionment, disappointment, hurt, broken relationships set in, when people let you down, well, what are you going to do? Are you going to throw in the towel? Now, I told you before, when I first was in university, I decided to quit the university to obey God, to go full time, or at least what I thought God was telling me. I was very hopeful. I said, God, I'm taking that final step. No turning back. No turning back. And in my mind, in about a year, you're looking at the next Billy Graham, right? So I was thinking, well, this is going to be so exciting, right? I mean, demons will be fleeing left, right, and center. And I went to my pastor. And pastor, I did it. Did what? I quit university. Why do you quit university? To serve God full time. Our church got no money to employ you. It's like, wait, that's not how the script is supposed to go, right? The script is like, praise the Lord, come on in, you know. I mean, anointing of the Lord be upon you. Here's a salary and everything, you know. But that didn't happen. So, I was like, okay, so what do I do now, right? Because this is quite discouraging. Because now I really have no more student pass, right? So, my pastor said, okay, you temporarily stay in my library. That's how I learn Korean, by the way. I stay in the pastor's library. Every night I read books, you know, Korean books. So I can read and write Korean because of that. So, I'll stay in the library. And every week, you give me $10 for pocket money. Which is more than I can hope for, but $10 is not what exactly you can live on for. I know how to become Billy Graham with $10, right? So, and every day I'll just go, because I didn't have money, I don't waste $10 on travel. I'll just follow him to the church office. In the church office, I'm not employed, right? So I just do whatever, lo, arrange things, la, dust this, dust that, la, like office boy, like that, la, you know. Pastor, you want coffee or not? No, coffee for you, you know. You want more coffee? You know? Like, I mean, what are you going to do, right? Then I would just do cycle style machine, la, you know, answer phone, la, arrange things around, tomorrow rearrange it slightly differently, you know. Stamps, yeah, you know, yeah. Send out envelope, lick stamps, you know. You lick so often, oh, this one is old one. You know, I can see the glue, it tastes different, right? You do it so often, now you know. After, yeah, this is good. This is a high quality glue, you know. Yeah. I tell you, you know what's the worst thing? Nothing. Nothing was happening in my life. I expected this. I thought I was going to be a hero. Actually, it was a zero, right? And at that point of time, initially I was like, okay. I mean, God is turning the gears of destiny and to bring me to the place, right? 1 week only, then I'll give God a bit of time. 2 weeks, destiny could be a bit slow. It's okay, right? It's okay. 3 weeks pass, 4 weeks pass, 5 minutes. Is there even a gear of destiny? I was thinking, right? 1 month pass, 2 months pass. Something along 4 months, I start to think, maybe I should be thinking of some contingency plan here, right? Right? Maybe God didn't tell me, you know. Maybe I really got bra this whole thing. Maybe it was Coke after all, although I never drink Coca-Cola at all, right? Or maybe it was something else. Oh no. What am I going to do? You know, that is the point. right? You are the down in the depths. Nothing is happening. And then you go out with your friends. Hey, Daniel, what are you doing, man? I heard you were serving the Lord. Yeah, I'm doing nothing. Don't be shy, lah. No, I'm actually literally doing nothing, you know, right? I'm not like exaggerating. Actually, probably less than nothing. You know, it's kind of hard. What are you going to do? You dare not show up at meetings, you know, because you don't want people to ask you anymore. Dare not go for those meetings, right? Because you was the guy following God. Now following God has gotten me nowhere. After 6 months, 7 months. You know what? I was there for nearly 10 months of doing nothing. Now let me ask you. What are you going to do when you try to follow God and things don't work out? When you get discouraged? I'll tell you what to do. You sit tight. That's what you do. You sit tight. You don't go anywhere. You persevere. You see it through. You're not going to quit after 4 days, right? Right? 4 days marching around, then nothing happened. Go home, lah, right? You're not going to quit after 4 days. You're not going to complain about being tired after 5 days. Are you? Don't. You're not going to throw in the towel after on the 7th day you march 6 times and you know what? We've had it. We're done with Joshua. You know, let's go back to Gilgal. At least over there, you know, no danger of getting shot, right? You're not going to quit. You're going to see it all the way through. Everyone say all the way. You're going to see it all the way through. And that is how faith works. You're going to be like, you know who? Rocky Marciano. You know who's Rocky or not? Some of you are probably too young, okay? Rocky was this incredible boxer, right? And this big match where he fought this guy called Apollo Creed. And they were going round after round, you know, boof, 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 you know, face was beaten like a pulp, you know, bleeding left, right, and center. You can't recognize the dude. Don't know which one is Rocky, which one is Apollo Creed, although one is black, one is, you know, white. You know. So they're fighting away, and then they'll fall down, and they get up again, round one, round two, round three, round six, round seven, right? Round eight, round nine, that's the show, you know. Until round 11, and then round 12, high five. You know, they went the distance until the final bell. You know, faith is like that. It's not that you won't get knocked down. Chances are you are going to get knocked down, but you keep getting up. You keep going at it. You sit tight. You hold fast. And that is what they had to learn. Why didn't God just, show up and boom, the wall fall down? Why must go through this funny march around 6 days last? You know what's going on or not? They are being trained to persevere. They are being trained by God to give voice to their faith. When they shout, when they open their mouth, faith comes out. Yeah, we can do it. Manchester United. Okay, wrong shout, you know. Right, whatever, you know. When they open their mouth, they're going to talk victory. Right? You don't open your mouth and complain. Not a single word. So these guys, they march. It was a silent march. Quietly around here. Right? I mean, those people in Jericho probably creeped out, you know. Why are all these people going so quiet? Are they even there? What's wrong with these people, you know? Right? So, God was training them to give voice to their faith. To lean on God. In fact, there's a verse in the Bible that says this, Proverbs chapter 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Right? Stick it through. When your own understanding fail you, don't fail God. Don't fail God. Stick it through. You have to put something on the table. Okay? You have to put something online. It's going to cost you. Right? Trusting God is going to cost you something. You know, this church building, when they started, I was a new pastor in Church of Savior. I just came in. The first year I came in, the deficit in the AGM was 1.1 capital M, right? So I was kind of new. I was like, capital M? What is capital M? Is it Malaysian ringgit or what? You know? Million. Okay, deficit 1.1 million. In my previous church, when we have a deficit of $10,000, we are worried already, you know? Right? But $10,000, one of my PCC members can stand up. Okay, you write a check, 10,000. Whoa, no more deficit, right? $1.1 million. I was like, oh boy. And then, they told me, but Pastor, we have a building project. Our building project, $1.8 million. This church, everything is million, something, alright? Only member, not million, only member is in the thousands, right? Then I was like, okay. You got money or not? Oh, we got save a bit of money already. We got property and all this. Okay, fine. Then shortly after, okay, Pastor, cannot. This has to be $2.76 million. I said, all right, $2.7 million. Ah. How do you go from 1.8 to $2.76 million, right? Then I'm like, well, pray, Lord. God, is this what you want? Do it. Okay, do it. So I came to the church. I said, guys, we need to raise $2.6 million, $2.76 million, right? And I am not going to remind you this because I don't like to, you know, sell satay for fundraising, sell chicken wing for fundraising. How many chicken must die to build a building, right? Or play golf for fundraising. I say, I'm not going to do any of this stuff, right? You want to give, you give, right? Don't need to have golf game to make you give one, right? If you don't want to give, then don't give. But you know what? They gave $2.76 million. When we almost reached $2.76 million, building committee said, Pastor, change again. Now it's $5.7 million. I say, wait, how can you like that one? You told me 2.76, I go and tell people 2.76. What am I going to tell them? I feel like Joshua, you know. I will tell them, by the way, 2.76, well done, now you're only halfway there. I was like, I tell you, you think that was bad, right? Shortly thereafter, it became $7 million. And then $10 million. At that point of time, I lost all my sense of humor already, right? I mean, how do you get from $1.8 million to $10 million, $10.5 million, right? So I said, what's going on here? Oh yeah, government this, government that, like, everything government, right? We don't know anything, blame government. So government this, government that. So I was thinking, how are you going to do this, man? $10 million? I mean, this is a magnitude, an order of a magnitude bigger than what we started with, right? I mean, my faith was like this. It's probably just enough to do that $2 million thing. Now it's $10 million. And so I was thinking like, oh dear. But just show up, Lord. Right? I told God, this is not your problem. Although, this is not my problem, this is your problem, right? Although it will be my problem if you don't solve your problem, right? So, I said, God, I'm totally counting on you to do this. So I still didn't sell chicken wings, still didn't sell satay, still didn't have a golf game, right? In fact, I didn't even mention it. I don't know if you remember. Our church have a non-existent building fundraising project on. Just give only. Give whatever you want to give some more. Right? Most churches that were now saying, if you give to the Lord, God will multiply 100-fold what you give, right? But I never say this kind of thing, right? And shortly thereafter, they say, Pastor, $12 million. Right? I'm like, what? Are you intent on killing me? No, actually. It's not $12 million. Hey, yeah. Actually, it's $16 million. What? Right? So at this point, I say, okay, guys, stop, okay? If you're going to do this, just give me the bottom line. Now, at least tell you, actually, there was another plan. The plan is $42 million to tear down everything, including this building, right? I say, forget that one, because you tear down this building, you put out another one just like it. So what's the point, right? So let's not do that. It's kind of foolish. Okay, but give me the bottom line. Pastor, the bottom line is $20 million. You could hear a pin drop, you know. They're all waiting to see my reaction. $20 million. I don't even know what to make of it because my mind, you know, my calculator don't have so many digits, you know. It's like E, you know, you get the E sign, right? It's like error. Then I'm thinking, then suddenly it dawned upon me. Wait. You said 20, ah? Is this the final number? Is this your final? Lock in your word now. Okay lah, 22? Is that your final? 26. 26 is our final. What? 26.5. Remember we started at 1.8. I was like, I'm just being dragged along like sheep to slaughter. I have no idea what's going on at all. Right? They just keep naming the number, get kids bigger and bigger by millions. But you know, today, we exceeded by $1 million. You know that? I mean, there's always this doubt. You think I didn't have doubt? I never prayed like mad before. Really prayed like crazy, you know. But you know why? Because God did it before in my life. When I became a pastor, first, we have, you know, every church got a board, right? So I remember I was at the first board of demons, board of deacons meeting, right? So, yeah. Now I feel about these people. Right? So you go to this, don't get me fired from my job, yeah. Deacons, board of deacons meeting, right? So we're here, we're sitting in there. And this church, we're talking about missions for the whole year. Now suddenly I become the pastor of the church, right? So now I look at the budget. You say, hey, you talk about missions for a whole year, but only about 3 to 5% of your budget is for missions. How come you all keep saying it's so important? I said, cannot. If missions is so important, give half of everything to missions. Now, my church was very small, only 100 plus people only, right? They all look at me. I was very young. I was only 20-something years old when I became a pastor, right? Now I'm pastor nearly 30 years already. So they all look at me, all these older people look at me. 年轻人不懂事啊, right? You don't know what you're in for. The pastor, how are you going to pay the rent? How are you going to pay the salaries? And I was just saying, remember I was very young, right? Young, you read all these books, you know. God's work done God's way will not lack God's provision. Got that from Hudson Taylor, right? And you keep saying things like this. Okay, la, pastor, if you want to do it, it's your salary. It's your office rent, okay? You do it. So they all went back. I feel kind of triumphant. You know, faith has prevailed. Jericho has fallen. And then I start thinking, yeah, who's going to pay the bill? The rental, we live week by week, no reserve one. In 2 weeks' time, the bill was due. I mean, this was the church that hardly have any money. I don't even get 13 months salary on, by the way. The first time they gave me 13 months salary, I was so happy I spent it immediately. Only to discover it's actually my January salary that accidentally paid me early, which I totally spent in one afternoon, right? So, no money, how are we going to pay for the rental? I tell you, I prayed like mad. Every day I pray, God, you will provide. And that time, I needed $25,000. Open my mouth, right? I opened my mouth very hard to eat back these words. So, Lord, this is my mouth, but your problem, okay? I confess the faith, but it's you have to provide. 1 day passed, 2 day passed, nobody come to office, you know, right? I was kind of hoping all the board of deacons would call and say, Pastor, I'll donate the money, right? But nobody called. But you know what? Wednesday, before rent was due, I opened the mailbox in the morning. There was an envelope inside. I opened the envelope. It was a check, anonymous, means no name on it, but for $10,000. For $10,000, I really don't care who gave it, right? Devil could have given it, I would be happy. $10,000, yes! But Lord, this is the kind of situation where it's like the Red Sea have partially parted. Right? You can see it's parted, but man, there's still sharks in the water, right? I mean, it's like, God, you're not helping me. In case you didn't get the memo, right? It's $25,000, not $10,000, right? More praying like man, praying like man. The next Wednesday, I go to church. Actually, I go every day, but that following Wednesday, right? Which is probably just 1 or 2 days before rent was due. Open another envelope inside. Quickly pull out. Didn't even go to office. Open up. Wow. $15,000. Bam. Exactly what you had, you know. And I tell you, I was like so mixed of praise and relief and I'll never do this again, you know, kind of thing, right? Right? But you know what? From there I learned, you know, if God can provide this, God can provide $26 million, don't you think so? Right? You see, faith is not how we often think it is. You cannot learn about faith from sitting and listening to a sermon. The only way you're ever going to learn about faith is when you step out there, you show up, and you do it yourself. And this is what I want to challenge you in closing. Alright? I know I'm over time, but this is very important. If you do not understand this, you'll be forever stuck at Gilgal. And Gilgal is not God's plan for your life. God's plan is for you to take the whole promised land. But the first lesson is Jericho. You understand? So today, in closing, here's what I want you to do. I want everyone to close your eyes. Because I believe God is going to speak to you. Right? For some of you, God has already spoken to you. Your problem is you're still coming. You're still going on your way. Akan datang still. But if God has spoken to you, guys, the time to show up is now. You need to show up. What are you going to put on the altar that will cost you something? Or has your faith up to this point in your young life never really cost you anything? But until you put something out there that costs you something, that forces you to lean on God, you will never mature beyond where you are. So today, as eyes are closed, I want you to hear, okay? Listen with all the sensitivity of your heart. And see if you can hear, maybe even just as a passing whisper, God might be telling you something. It might be a very small thing. It could be a relatively big thing. Whatever it is, you need to hear it from God yourself. Right now, okay, this very moment, God can and God will speak to you. What is it? Do you hear it? Do you hear it? The whisper of God knocking on the door of your heart, asking you, do you hear this? The Lord said. Second thing, you're gonna have to show up, man. Otherwise, it's the end of the road. Game over for you if you don't show up. You gotta show up at the Jericho of your lives, wherever that might be, however that Jericho might be shaped. You have to take that first step of faith out of the boat into that water. You got to come to a place in your life where you say, you know, it doesn't matter what happens, whether I'm embarrassed. You put your reputation on the altar. You put your resources, you put your treasures on the altar. You put the things that are closest to your heart on the altar and say, God, I am going to step out there by faith. And Lord, give me the strength to sit tight and hold fast. These things is what faith is all about. The Bible says in Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't matter how many songs you sing, how high you jump. It doesn't matter what you know. Your knowledge is completely irrelevant unless you have faith. So today, I believe God, at the beginning of this year, wants to lead you guys into a real breakthrough. I mean, stuff's going to get real now, right? No more playing church games. Get real with God. So while eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want to pray that God would just anoint you. That you will begin to rise out of your, I guess, your childhood. And to grow a heart of David. To become a young man or a young woman of tremendous faith. Who before he took on Goliath had already fought the lion and the bear. Who knew what it was like to defeat the enemy at Jericho. So Father, I pray for every one of them, Lord. May they have the heart of a warrior. May they be courageous, full of grit. May they not be double-minded. May their passion and their love be for you and for the church and for the kingdom of God. May they love that far more than everything else. May they be willing to put their treasures on the altar. So Lord, help us to suit up. Put on armor. Help us to show up. Help us to shut the voice of dissent in our hearts and to say yes to you. It's what the Bible calls denying ourselves. And last of all, Lord, help us to sit through this thing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen, amen. We'll stand together. We're going to sing this song. And I'll tell you what. Okay, I know it's late, but as we sing this song, maybe, see, you got to put your faith into action, right? You got to do something. Knowing stuff makes no difference. So as we sing the song, maybe you want to come forward. It's between you and God. Okay, nobody's going to push you. But if that's you, you're saying, yeah, it's about time I grew up. It's about time I became a man or woman of God. And if that's you, say, Lord, the fight is on. Because until you show up, right, there's no fight. But the moment you show up, then the fight is on. So as we sing this song, if that's what you desire, say, yeah, Lord, I'm on. Then you come forward, and I hand the time back to Pastor Tito.
You know, guys, when we hear God speak to us, we have to make a choice to respond. If it's not king in our choices, it's not king at all. And the mark of a Joshua generation is a generation who would hear and obey. So like Pastor Daniel just shared with us, if God is speaking to you and you are saying today, God, I'm ready to hear and obey. I will hear and obey you at whatever cost. Lord, whatever you want for me, I'm ready to do it. So when you come forward, you are telling God, I'm putting down everything that's held me back before from obedience. I put down my reputation, I put down my preference, I put down my desire of convenience or comfort. Okay, so as AJ leads this song, if you want to respond, not to men, but to God, you come forward.
call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, my feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stay.
If you're a leader or a supervisor or a team leader and you want to respond, come forward also. We're not going to have the kind of ministry where we pray for each other, but you're responding to God and let Him speak to you directly. So leaders, if you want to respond, come and respond.
I don't know how many of you really believe this. But there's a promised land out there waiting for us to claim. Each of us have that promised land to walk into. And to do that, we need to be able to stand up, to rise up, and to be prepared to fight for it. And to do so, it calls us to be warriors. And to be warriors, you got to be ready. You got to be able to be strong enough to pick up the sword and pick up the shield to go into battle. And there are just some things when you go to war that you have to lay down, that you cannot bring into battle, because it's not going to do you any good. It's going to pull you down. It's going to drag you down. It's going to make you quit. It's going to make you give up. There are some things today, right here, right now, even as you guys have made that decision to walk up to the altar, on your personal altar, there are some things that you need to lay down. Not because God wants these things from you. He doesn't want anything from you. The only thing that He wants is you. Even as you come to the altar today to make that decision, to make that covenant to live for Christ? Will you take some time to tell God, to tell the Father, I want to go into war today to claim what you have prepared for me. And I know these things are holding me down. These things are not doing me any good. It's not easy for me to lay them down, but I want to do that. My pride, my fear, my insecurities, my hobbies, my addictions. Father, I lay them down at the altar. And I know that your grace will strengthen me. Your grace not only forgives me and embraces me, but your grace, the blood of Jesus, empowers me to rise up and to fight. So will you guys take some time just to respond to the Father and to lay down the things on the altar, to prepare yourselves, to prepare yourselves for a season of war, to fight for your faith, and then to fight for the faith of others. There may be still some of you in the seats, undecided, wavering. But today is the day. Don't wait for tomorrow. Don't wait for next week or next month. Why not today? To make that decision. To choose the Father. To choose to live for Him. To choose to live for something that is so much more. Something so much bigger. You are our commander. Here we are today. These are your warriors. These are your warriors that have laid down their lives for you, because they recognize that only you can lead them into victory. Father, you look down and you see your people, and you are pleased and you are proud, because you know that these are the people that you can entrust. Father, we thank you. We thank you today for your love that is not only patient and kind, but your love that empowers, that strengthens, that builds our faith, O Lord. We thank you for your love that makes us brave, that gives us the strength to step out of our comfort zones, to step out of our boat, to follow you. Today our hearts, we respond to you. Today our hearts turn to you and say, we will follow you. Wherever you may go, we will follow you. Because we know that there's a promised land out there that you have prepared for us. And we will do what it takes to enter into the promised land. We do not want to wander in the wilderness anymore, Lord. Take us to the promised land. And we will fight for it. Because you are our banner. Thank you, Father. Amen. You know, Kus Youth, I really feel like doing something. It's going to be weird, but I think we should I mean, we used to do this in the past, but today I really feel we should just end off with a shout, you know? I know some of you may find that it's lame or it's stupid, but I think it's so significant that we end off with a shout. Not to show the people in Jericho that we are here to fight, but today we start with a shout for God to hear that His army is here, you know? For heaven to hear that His army is here, ready to tell God, God, we are here, we are ready to take the promised land, and we will shout to declare that. We'll arise, your army is not going to be in slumber anymore, but all your people here, every single soldier, we're going to shout and tell you that we are ready. Even if we are not, we're going to do what it takes to be ready. We're going to pick up the shield, we're going to pick up the sword, and we're going to march into Jericho to take what you have prepared for us, because it belongs to us. Amen? Alright, so I'm not going to use the mic, but on the count of three, let's give God, let's give heaven a shout like we've never done before. Alright, 1, 2, 3. Ready, and when God sends us and we obey and we go, He will go with us, and it's because of Him we have the victory in our lives, in our families, in our schools, in Coos Youth. We go without fear. Fear is not going to hinder us, but we go knowing the Father will go with us. He goes before and He goes after. We are surrounded by Him. There's nothing to fear. We can only overcome. So Father, we thank You. We thank You for the breakthrough we had today. We thank You. I thank You that my brothers and sisters here in arms, that they have the strength to pick up the shield and the sword to fight for You. Father, we are ready. We are ready, and we can only look forward Your next instruction as commander, and we wait for You. And as we wait, we prepare ourselves in training, because we know that we want to fight a war, there needs to still be training. So thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for all that You've been doing, and that You've done, and that You are going to do for Coos Youth, for the youths in Singapore, and for this entire generation that is rising up. Slowly but surely, they are rising up. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, Coos Youth. Good to see you here today. Very good to see every one of you, and we hope to see you all next week. Thank you.
Tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.coos.org.sg. God bless.